two or three weeks ago, I thought, how am I going to get a message out of three small words? I don't know if you could remember, quite a few weeks ago I spoke on three words. Anyone remember what those words were? Remember Lot's wife. And of course, the story behind those three words were very significant in relation to those words. These three words this morning, as Jesse just played, are one of the sayings from the cross among seven sayings that the Lord Jesus spoke when he was hanging on the cross. These were his three final words. It is finished. And that's what we want to speak on this morning. It is finished. If you have a Bible, I'm going to read from John chapter 19. We're going to read a few verses just for context. I think we'll just begin reading at the first of the chapter, and we'll read right through to the last verse. I might skip a few portions, but to get the context, John chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate went forth again and said unto him, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he had made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have the power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from heaven, or from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.' And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and the two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, 'Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rent it, but cast lots for it, for whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and from my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciples took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We'll end our reading there. We'll just open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this morning, we come in the name of thy Son, thy Holy Son, thine only begotten Son, the one whom we've read of this morning that spoke those tremendous words, It is finished. Father, we pray for help this morning. We pray in a crowd of this size, Father, that maybe there's someone who does not understand the truth of these words or has never come into the good of what they mean. And so, Father, we pray for help this morning by your Spirit. You would just show to them the truth of the gospel and their need of this one called Jesus Christ. We pray for help this morning, and we pray these things in his name. Amen. It is finished. He did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. And we're going to talk about that because there's a big difference. Because we know, most of us, when I look over the crowd this morning, that we know that he was resurrected 3 days later. So he is not finished. But what he did at that place called Calvary, when he basically, it wasn't a cry of defeat. He said, It is finished! And he gave up his life. Now, most of us, I've had to train myself, actually, in my job, to be a finisher. To finish something. Because I have a tendency to just kind of do all the big stuff and not finish something. And I think we all can relate in our lives to many different things that maybe we've started and we've had a little bit of trouble of finishing. Maybe we actually get great, it's a great feeling to finish something, isn't it? Maybe it's a task that your parents have given you or a career choice and an exam that you passed to finally get your degree. Whatever it may be, maybe it's a phase in your life that is behind you and you've moved on to something else. And that is done. But the problem with the things that we finish is they always come back around, don't they? There's always something that's maybe just a little bit not quite right. And in my field, although I may finish a project, there's always maintenance. There's always things that kind of maybe through time fall apart and need to be maintained. We have to go back to the things that we thought were complete. But I want to speak this morning about these three words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he said, It is finished. It was something that would never, ever have to be looked at again. It was a completed work in the perfect sense of the word. And anything that you might think of on planet Earth that you have completed will pale in comparison to the finished work that he did. It is finished. That's my message. Pretty simple outline. Three words. It is finished. It was a message from God to man. It was a work that would never be repeated. It was the work to save men and women, boys and girls, from the plague of sin. It does not matter where you've come from this morning, what background you have, what is your history in religion, or non-existent. Maybe you have no religion. Maybe you're here this morning when you don't really believe anything, and maybe you were invited by a friend. I want to present to you this morning the only thing that is complete and that will save you from your sins. And it's seen in these three words. It is finished. It. That's what we want to talk about. That little word, it. What is it? It was a task. There was things that happened at that place called Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life. We could say that his suffering was finished, and that would be absolutely true. He would never suffer for sins again. That was finished. We could talk about the Old Testament, if you're familiar with it. Maybe you're here and you've been in Sunday school all your life and you've understood that all the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that were given with the blood of the goats and the lambs and the shedding of blood was always a covering for sin. And it always pointed to this one. Once in the end of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All those sacrifices are done. And maybe you're not even familiar with that, and that's okay. We want to present to you this morning something that is so perfect and complete that it is enough to save you from your sins and to give you eternal life. Present possession here, now, in this meeting. Eternal life. It was a task that God gave to his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we all embrace the beginning of something, don't we? And the world would embrace the beginning of Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate that in just a couple of months. That little baby in a cradle. That's very easy to accept, isn't it? But the it that I'm talking about ended at Calvary. A crucifixion, a mocking, hatred,